Praise God.
Oh, Lord, I just thank you so much for all that you've done already today. I thank you for the joy. I thank you for the unity. I thank you for the love. The things that are happening here are just wonderful. And Lord, I just pray that even now, if there is something that I'm going to say that's not coming from you, Lord, you are certainly able to change the words as they come out.
Amen.
I just ask that only your word, only your truth goes forth today. And thank you once again for all that you have already done. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I really have prayed a lot over what I wanted to share with you today because I've been a bit conflicted about it, honestly. I don't know how to process some of the things that I've learned, that I've been thinking about. And I'm probably going to make somebody mad before I'm done. But I want you to hold on, don't tune me out. Hold on for the whole ride, because I think by the end we're going to be good. So you with me? All right. Christmas is such a happy time of year for most folks. We love the music. We don't hear it any other time. You start hearing it on the radio. You start hearing it when you're out and about. And it conjures up all these good feelings. All the decorations, the lights. Even I can appreciate the lights. You go by the houses and see them all lit up. We get to spend time with family. Usually we like that. And we get the gifts. Some of the gifts we really like. Some of the gifts maybe we didn't like so much. Some of the gifts maybe we needed. I can still remember. I don't know. For little girls, maybe it's different. But little boys, I don't think I certainly did that. They're really disappointed when they get those clothes that they really need, but they really don't want for Christmas. I still remember that. And of course, I also remember being a teenager and how that changed just a little bit. When I got a jacket from my aunt that I remember being real proud of, like a bomber type black jacket. I was really proud to have that. That was, I think, the first time I actually liked getting clothes for Christmas. It's not a happy time for everybody. Sometimes we're dealing with memories. Sometimes it's lonely. Sometimes it's just plain stressful. If you are expected to be the hub of activity, or if you feel this obligation to take care of everybody or to get gifts for this person and that person, sometimes it's not so fun just because it stresses you out. And sometimes if you've studied a little bit, some people are bothered by their conscience at Christmas time because they're not sure what to make of some of the things they've heard. And I've been there, and I'm going to share with you some things, and you may need to make your own decision after I share them. But I believe, just to put everybody at ease, that for Christians it can be a wonderful time. Because Christmas is a time, of course, of celebrating Jesus coming to us, but also of celebrating giving. I remember the first Christmas I had after I left the university, after I left home and went to the University of Arkansas. Didn't have a lot of money, but I decided that I was going to get everybody gifts. And I don't think any of those gifts are still around, but I just remember how fun it was. To think through, okay, what would this person like? I didn't have a lot to work with, but trying to get something that everybody would appreciate. How much fun that actually was that year. My grandmama, Don't call her grandma. Don't call her grandma. That's a cardinal sin. She's grandmama. She loves Christmas. We're going to get to see her hopefully in a few days here. She's in a nursing home now and can't do everything that she used to do. But that was her holiday. She would plan for it all year. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of Jesus going on in those on those Christmas days. But I'll tell you what, there was an example of Jesus going on those Christmas days. In my grandmama, who loved to give and got great joy out of seeing people appreciate and take joy in the things that she would give them.
Amen.
She loved that. And that's my memory. If I have one memory of Christmas, it's grandma. How much she enjoyed it. How much she enjoyed being the source of gifts. I remember another Christmas fondly. It was the first Christmas I spent in my new house in Richardson. And it's funny, it didn't really work out the way we planned it. Everybody came to my house, and what we were supposed to do, we were supposed to go out and serve food. But I had misunderstood the information I got, and as it turned out, they weren't doing that day. We got out there, and there wasn't anything for us to do. But I wasn't disappointed at all. I wasn't disappointed because, for once, it wasn't about us. It wasn't about all the stuff that we could get. It was about doing something that Jesus would actually want if we were going to celebrate His birthday. We get so tied in with what we want. What does He want? If we're going to call this His birthday, what does He want?
Amen.
This is an opportunity for us as Christians. This season is a gift for us to be able to share Jesus with people who ordinarily aren't really willing to hear about it. Some facts that you may not know about regarding the Christmas season. Some of you may have heard that Jesus, our calendar's off. Our calendar's off by 3 to 6 years, depending on how you calculate it. Jesus was probably born between 3 and 6 B.C. And He probably wasn't born on December 25th. Noel, it was not a cold winter night. You've got the shepherds out keeping their sheep. Well, shepherds don't graze sheep in the middle of winter. And it's the rainy season there. So, it probably wasn't in winter. It probably was known about the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is significant because Jesus came and lived with us. That's a wonderful thing. But the fact is, we don't really know. He didn't tell us. We don't really know. And yes, there are a lot of pagan influences in our Christmas celebration. The timing even is meant to match up with a pagan celebration that was actually the birth of the sun god. Mithra was the Roman god's name. There were several others. And you might be able to trace that all the way back to the idolatry that Israel was in trouble for. Gift-giving actually didn't come from Christmas celebration either. It was originally part of a festival called Saturnalia, where they worshiped the god Saturn, and they would exchange gifts. And the slaves and the masters would switch places. It was a big drunken party. The greenery and the lights on their houses and the things all came from Roman custom. The Christmas tree is a German thing. And there's some other things about the Christmas tree that kind of make you cringe, but I'm not going to go into that. No need to go into that. It was a fertility symbol, though. In fact, if you read in Jeremiah 10:3, it might be talking about the Christmas tree, but it depends on what version you read. Some of them make it sound more like it's just a description of an idol. Talk about cutting a tree and standing up with nails so it'll stand up, and putting gold and silver on it. But depending on which version you read, that could be a tree, it could just be an idol. But stick with me here, we won't get to good stuff. Mistletoe and the greenery and the wreaths, it's all part of fertility rituals.
Oh boy.
And these are why people have objection. These are why some people that are honestly good Christian people have some objections to our Christmas celebration. And my goodness, every once in a while, you'll be on the air, I'll be watching Facebook or something, and I'll see somebody will start bringing these things up. And people get upset. People get really upset when this is challenged. If you have heard the expression sacred cow, and where that comes from, of course, this is from Hinduism, where cows literally are sacred to them. But what we usually mean when we say that, which is not necessarily a good way to witness to a Hindu, but what we mean by that when we say somebody's sacred cow is it's something that's not really sacred. It's just a cow. Get out the grill. But boy, you know, we have our own, in the Christian circles, we have our own sacred cows, things that we think of as holy that really aren't holy. That does not mean that they're all evil necessarily. I'll get to that. But it's those. It was actually historically banned in early America and in England. The Puritans wouldn't celebrate it. And there was a period of time, I didn't write down the dates, but there was a period of time in Massachusetts where it was not legal to celebrate Christmas. And we're told not to engage in idol worship, so people will take that and they'll say, hey, well, if we've got all these pagan practices, we shouldn't be doing it. And God didn't say to. Well, there's a lot of things God didn't say to do that we do. It doesn't necessarily make them wrong. Oh, people get upset about the commercialization of Christmas. And they talk about, you know, we have this thing now that's become a word everybody's heard about, Black Friday. What is Black Friday? Well, if you're an accountant, you know, and now that we have computers, it's not so obvious, but I think even the accounting programs still do this. They put if you go into debt, it's red. And if you're out of debt, if you've got more assets than you've got liabilities, then you're in the black.
Right.
And Christmas is that Friday after Thanksgiving is when retailers make that flip. And now they're not in debt anymore, they're in the black. So that's where we get this term, commercial term, Black Friday. It's ironic that these same retailers that have this celebration of Jesus' birthday to thank for the fact that they've just turned into black now don't want people to say Merry Christmas. Kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
We see the selfishness, and we see the riots and people getting trampled and thefts are up. And you can't really blame people for wondering, are we doing something wrong here? And one really has to ask, well, does God, if this isn't even when Jesus was born, is God really in favor of us practicing something that sounds like a lie? And good people will disagree on that. But I want to tell you now why I think we still have reason to celebrate.
Amen.
Timing, I really don't think matters a whole lot to God. If timing, He used seasons and things to teach us things, but I really don't think that our flawed calendar means a whole lot to God. And, you know, people say, well, God didn't tell us what time. You know, God didn't tell us, so we shouldn't celebrate. Well, maybe He didn't tell us because He was planning something else. Maybe He didn't tell us because He was planning to take over something that was meant for evil and make it good. Maybe He was setting us up. See, Romans 14:5, and it's not up there, but Romans 14:5, he's talking about this, you know, people's conscience. And it says, you know, one person regards one day above another. Another considers every day the same, every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. Now for me, I don't have any problem with, don't condemn anybody else, but I'm uncomfortable having a Christmas tree. I don't condemn anybody else for having a Christmas tree, but I'm uncomfortable with it personally. So we don't put one up. If I had children, I would tell them the truth. That's all I'll say about that, because I don't have children. Because I think the truth is always best.
Amen.
It's a matter of the heart. And there are so many things. God is so gracious and merciful, and he overlooks things that I think we make a big deal about. Now, does that mean they're necessarily good? No. But there's a very interesting passage, a very interesting little bit back in 1 Samuel where David is fleeing from Saul, and his wife that lets him escape and helps him get away. It's Saul's daughter, Michal, is his wife. Helps him get away. And in order to facilitate him getting away, she takes the household idol. The what? The household idol? This is David. David, man after God's own heart. He's got a household idol? What's up with that? We're not really told. I don't know, was that Michael's thing that she, you know, we learned she's not exactly the most loyal person later on. You know, was that her thing? David put up with it because it was something she wanted? Or did it have no real meaning to them? Was it just something that was more like a decoration? We don't know. We're not really told. And it doesn't necessarily make it right. But nobody here, nobody in Western society thinks of pagan idol worship when they see a Christmas tree. And I really believe that what God is concerned with is what's in our hearts.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We don't make those associations, and we don't, you know, it's what goes on in people's hearts. It's what was going on. You read those things about God's telling the Israelites not to engage in the pagan practices. You've got to realize what some of those pagan practices meant. We talked a little bit about that early on. I mean, you had child sacrifice and everything else going on, promiscuity, all kinds of things involved in those idol worship practices that were not good, that were harmful. And God always expects us to worship Him as God.
Amen.
But did you know, this is something interesting that I didn't know, that God Himself appropriated a pagan custom and made it His? The practice of circumcision, God did not have to explain. If you go back and read, God didn't have to explain how to do that. Don't worry, parents, I'm not eager. He didn't have to tell Abraham what he needed to do to make that happen. He didn't invent the process. Abraham already knew what that was because it was already practiced. It was part of pagan practice in Egypt. But God took something that was part of evil practice and made it a distinguishing mark of His people. God is a redeemer of times and seasons. I think that God stepped in and redeemed a time that was set aside for pagan sun worship and made it instead a time in which we worship the sun. Why in the world otherwise would Satan fight it so hard? You know, we call Halloween Satan's holiday. Well, that's only because we took away Christmas. didn't have that anymore. He had to take second place. I really believe that we can take advantage of this time and reflect the joy that we should always have.
Amen.
I used as sort of our launching scripture today, and that is up there. Peter, 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But sanctify Christ always as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Now the context there is persecution. But as you've seen in some of the things that Linda was talking about earlier today, we're starting to see that persecution. If we retain our joy, then we have the opportunity to share. This is why. Because this is about Jesus. Without Jesus, this doesn't exist.
Amen.
It's an excellent opportunity for us to be a witness. Sing those carols. You know, we all kind of laugh at, okay, we got to sing all the verses of all of these songs. But you know what? Some of those, particularly those Christmas carols, those verses are beautiful.
Amen.
Those verses tell the whole story.
Amen.
A lot of times we don't sing them all, we don't hear them all when we're out and about, but these things are beautiful story, the gospel story. They put the gospel story in those carols that we sing all the time. Sing those carols. Enjoy them. Proudly but lovingly proclaim the reason for the season.
Amen.
Say Merry
Amen.
Christmas. And I'm going to say this with a caveat. Say Merry Christmas, but don't fight over it. I don't mean that we shouldn't stand up when people come in and try to inappropriately squash Christian expression. We live in a country where we're free to do that, and we should stand up for our rights to do that.
Amen.
But when we're dealing with individual people, when we're dealing with the grocery store clerk, when we're dealing with our co-workers who don't necessarily know the Lord or don't necessarily agree with us, we don't need to fight about it. We just need to keep being the Christian witness that God meant for us to be.
Amen.
And when we're teaching our children, there is a real St. Nicholas. Go do the research. Find out who he was, what he did. There's a reason why we have the story of Santa Claus. It's rooted in a real person who did good things for real people.
Amen.
And reach out to those people that aren't having such a good time during this holiday season. Reach out to those people that are alone. Give back to Jesus. If we're going to celebrate this is his birthday, let's give him something that he wants for his birthday.
Amen.
And he wants redemption. He wants salvation. He
Amen.
Wants unity. He wants love. So, yes, this season is a gift. And I hope that whatever you decide about Christmas celebrations, at least now you've got a little bit of ammunition is not a word I want to use, but I just used it. But you've got a little bit of background so that you've got more than your love for the season and all the trappings to answer somebody who says, well, you ought not celebrate that. But let's make use of the opportunity while we can, because the day may yet come when we don't have the opportunity anymore. So share the gift. Merry Christmas.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for for giving us this time. Thank you for redeeming the time. You are the Redeemer. You came, you redeemed us through sending your Son to be born and to die here with us and to be raised again. And we thank you for all that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.